Left off the previous year, discussing whether there's a halacha of Luka Gvil, a halacha that requires that every letter be surrounded by cloth, whether that did apply to a get or not. The fact that did is true by Sefer Torah, that's true by Tefillah and Mezuzah, that's an explicit Gemara. These are Tefillah and Mezuzah, it's explicit, it's assumed that it applies, carried over to Sefer Torah. Does it carry over to a get? So whether or not our Gemara was a proof to one way or the other was questionable. But we took a step back at the end of the year and we asked ourselves, what should it do? If we were just analyzing this on our own, do we think this halacha can carry over? So Tosfos quoted that they don't think so. They don't think we really need any gemara for this halacha. We don't really need any raya. It's just common sense that there is no din of requiring of gil by a get. Why is that? So says Tosfos, the name of the Ri, what was the source of this halacha in the first place? Why did you ever need a halacha book of gil? Why does the halacha disqualify a letter that's touching by Sefer Torah and Mezuzos? So the answer is, says the Ri, must be based on the concept of a chsaf tam, which means ksiva tama. It has to be a perfect kind of a writing. If there's some kind of a deficiency in the writing, the letters are there, but there's an added dimension, added level of chsaf tam. It has to be beautiful, it has to be clear, it has to be complete and perfect. Two letters are touching, some of that's a chisar, and some of that's a deficiency of ksiva tama, says the Ri. By a get, it says b'chosav. There is no requirement of Sibat Torah. And therefore, argues the Ri, that when it comes to a Sibat Torah for Mezuzahs, you have to write, and you have to have a Sibat Torah as well. When it comes to a get, we have to have a Maisik Sibat. A Maisik Sibat is there. The letters are there. You can read the letters. Sure, that's enough. That's sufficient for a get. That's the Yisod HaDvarim of the Ri. So this idea of the Ri, that get and Sibat Torah for Mezuzahs are parting ways, based on Chsaf Tam, is a little bit difficult to understand. Because the Gemara Masechta Shabbos tells us that how do you know that if I have a vav that looks like a yud, surf was a little careless and he didn't make it very long enough vav, or I have a beis that looks a little bit like a chaf, he didn't square it off properly, it's a little bit too round for us. You have a hay that looks like a ches, it's not clear. There is a mark, not a mark. How do you know? Halacha tells us that if letters aren't absolutely perfect, that somebody could read them and see them and discern them right away. How do you know that they're not acceptable? Maybe that's called a brit. It's a vav. It takes us an hour to see whether it's a vav. The kid can't quite read it. It's a vav. Yeah, it's a vav. How do you know that's so good? Says the Gemara. Uchsav tam. Amzuzos besecha misharecha. Tadarabara. Uchsav tam. Ksiva tama. That has to be perfect. Every letter has to be complete. It has to be whole. If it's, even though the letter is technically there, but it's not there, ksiva tama, that's not acceptable. The entire source of the halacha. All derived from the same phrase, from the same possible Babish, Uksaftok Sibatala. Does that halacha carry over to Gittin? Of course it does. Of course that spills over to Chuz Gittin. That's no question. Would anybody in the right mind say that you give a get to the woman and her name is Sarah? So the Reish doesn't exactly look right. It looks a little bit like a dollar. And the hay doesn't exactly look right. It looks a little like a ches. So you just give a get to a lady whose name is Sadach. Talking, that's going to be a good get. So Tosfos writes in Maseches Menachos, it's absurd because it's not a good get. If the person's name is, his name is Moshe, and now it says Moshech, or his name is Baruch, and now it says Koruch. So it's a different word. I remember there was once a sofa opened up the Pashim Tzolot, and he was sitting next to me, and he starts to read. Plus, he said at the beginning, Pashas Kaddish, Zachor es hayom hazeh. He says to me, Zavor es hayom hazeh. It's a base. It's a mamsh base. So would anybody say that? That's, of course, that's not kosher. So the whole halacha that requires each letter has to look like itself is also learned out from the Nevuch Siva Tama. So how come that din for sure carries over to a get? So now we have the Ri in the corner. They're telling me that the din of Siva Tama don't carry over to Hilchus Gittin. Proof positive, there's no requirement that letters be surrounded, but even you concede that some of the dinim of Sibat Tama carry over. Otherwise, it would be absurd to say Vavs can look like Yuds. Oh, the problem with that, that's what I would have said, except that Chazal don't say that. The Gemara says Maseches Shabbos Tana Rabbanan Uchsavtam Ksiva Tama Belamishim Kosta Vav Yud Yud Vav Reish Dal. The Gemara says all the words Ksiva Tama. See, right? I wouldn't say like you. Without the Gemara Shabbos, I would say like you. That's not the Ksiva. That's the Ksiva. So we have to touch up a little bit what this Halach of Ksiva Tama is all about. So there is a major machlekes in the Rishonim, potentially halacha ma'aseh, Rishonim will come up. A major machlekes in the Rishonim about in Hilchas Ksivas Osios, versus Vitar Tzolim Mezuzos, is there a halacha that each and every letter has to be one unit of ink? So what's the din? Let's say I write a vav, and there's a little bit of a scratch in the vav. If I look at it, it looks like a vav. I held it up, I asked the child, he's going to read it as a vav. But I looked at it a little bit carefully, I realized that some of the ink in the middle faded away. Is that kosher or not? That was a big machlokes. So most of the Rishonim and Shulchan Aruch, we try to follow this view, hold that that's a problem. That if a letter is split, even though the letter is discernible, it's not discernible, you have a vav that's split in half, it looks like a yud with a little thing on the bottom, so that's for sure. So it basically looks like a vav, but lemaisa, objectively, it's not one unit. Is there a loch that has to be one stroke, it has to be one unit of ink or not? So in Shulchan Aruch, we assume the chumrah on that shayla, but it's not agreed upon by everybody. There's a Meiri, there are a few other Mishanim who say that they never heard of such a no such halacha. So that's a question. Is there such a din or not? What would the source of such halacha be? That din is even true. Where would that halacha come from? So Mishama, that's what Mishanim write, it would come from the requirement of Ksiva Tama. Ksiva Tama teaches me that Tama literally means complete, it's got to be whole. So if I have a vav, but half the vav's over here, and then half the vav's over here, and they're not connected, so does this nish ksiva tama? Does this ksiva tama? So ksiva can be, but a ksiva tama it's not going to be. So that's the way we go for that. That's how we generally assume halacha. Even though that's where we accept halacha, that a letter has to be written. The poskim are lenient about this in the following case. But if you're in the middle of laning, and you notice that there's a letter in the Sefer Torah, that it looks okay, but the ink is a little bit faded. You take a few glasses, a little bit of dazzling. By golly, there's a real break. There's a scratch right through the letter. It looks like a vav, but it's split apart. What would you do at that point? So we have a rule in Hilchas Sefer Torah that we only put away a Sefer Torah if there's an outright psul, something that's possible chol hadayos. If there's something that's a machlekes, a shaila, a suffix, a chumra, so our attitude in Hilchas Kriyas HaTorah is that we keep on going. Why are we so lenient when it comes to Kriyas HaTorah? Very simple, because of the Chitas HaRambam. The Rambam writes in the Tshuva, not even Mishnah, the Tshuva, the Rambam writes that you can lean from a postal Sefer Torah. Why? Says the Rambam, Kriyas HaTorah is only Midrabanan, it's not Midrabanan, maybe exception of Pasha Zohar. Kriyas HaTorah is only Midrabanan. And when Chazal instituted Kriyas HaTorah, so he instituted, you can't read out of a Chumash, you can't read out of a piece of paper, it's got to look like a Sefer Torah, but it has a letter missing here and there, a couple of mistakes here and there. For Kriyas HaTorah purposes, it's okay. Because Kriyas HaTorah anyway is only Midrabanan. That's the same Mishitas and the Tshuvas HaRambam. So there's a big problem with that Tshuvas HaRambam, is that the Rambam in Mishnah Torah seems to contradict that. The Rambam probably changed his mind. The Rambam wrote many from the course of a whole lifetime. So we sometimes also change our mind and things that we wrote. The problem is, the Rambam writes something in the Tshuva. We don't know when the Tshuva was dated. We don't know when the Rambam wrote that Tshuva. We do know what the Rambam writes in Mishnah Torah. The Rambam writes explicitly not that way. The Rambam writes there's a missing letter in the Torah in Karba B'tzivu. You're not allowed to lay from it entirely. So the poskim were very, very weary to rely on that Tshuva Rambam. So there are a few Rishonim who held the Tshuva Rambam. Rambam wasn't the only one who said that. So therefore, we have the following Lashon. We have the following compromise view. We are not going to take out a Sefer Torah if we think there's a letter missing. If we're in the middle of laning and we realize there's a letter missing, or there's a letter that's so blatantly possible that it's possible to chodeis, we're going to have to stop laning and start over. We have another Sefer Torah. But if there's any shaila in a letter, is this something to machlik is a Rashi? Somebody holds that this letter is kosher the way it is, so that's fair. Maybe the letter is kosher, maybe the letter is possible. Beautiful to love, that's possible, but the Rambam's right anyway, and maybe you can continue to lay. That's the standard practice today. So when a Rav goes up to look to see if it's a Sefer Torah kosher, he's not looking to see if it's a good according to everybody. He's going to look and see if it's a good according to anybody. That's the goal of when you look at Sefer Torah. It's a little different set of eyes. You would never use those same set of eyes to look at Tzvon and Mezuzahs. But when it comes to Kriyas HaTorah, so we'll be the Eved we're making. So I guess it's a Yad Yom of Parshas HaPinchas. So Ma'aseh Shel Kachoyav was strange. It could be I told the story over there once before, I'm not sure. But it was a strange, it was more of a Rebbe Shemaiseh than a Lippe Shemaiseh. But that Lippe Shemaiseh twist to it also involved myself. It was actually Parshas Pinchas. The only reason I remember is Parshas Pinchas. I'll tell you in a moment why it's obvious why it's Parshas Pinchas. I was. This goes back when I was a Rosh Hashanah Paramus. I was away for the summer. I was in California. And those years, it's going for the summer. And I was speaking in one of the shuls in California, near in the neighborhood where Ray Lutz used to live. It was a guest galim residence. I went to one of the shuls there. So I was there on Shabbos morning. And in the middle of Christmas, Lourdes, the Bakari stops, he calls over the rabbi. You know that call for the bullpen. It's not going to be a pleasant outcome. You know that. So they call the rabbi in, takes a look. You've all seen that. He takes off the glasses, looks down. So he motions for the second pitch to come in. So he motions me to come up and take a look at it. So I looked at it. I said, you continue to lay. I said, I thought you could continue to lay. What was the shadow? The shadow was one of these shadows. It was a slit. It was a crack. And ink had faded at the time. So the letter was discernible as a letter. It was a vav, so it had a little bit of a lack of ink in there. So it should be fixed after the Shabbos. But since, according to the Meiri, it's kosher. According to one of the Rishonim, it's kosher. But Tziruf, that Shumas HaRambam, that would man have Pascha like. So the Shabur is Mekel. Whenever you have these kinds of Shilas, let it be Mekel. So they quote the Pesach for Moshe and for Yaakov. They both said about this kind of a case that since the Meiri and a few minority of Rishonim say it's okay, so continue to lay. What I remember is Pashas Pinchas. Pinchas, if you have an inexperienced Bakari, he'll always find this problem at the beginning of Pashas Pinchas. Pashas Pinchas is the only poster where there is supposed to be a crack. The Himni knows was Brisi Shalom, so we have a tradition that the Vav is supposed to be above Ketiyah, but we assume that means a little crack. So the only place in the Sefer Torah where the Vav has to be split. So the Bakari tomorrow morning, Rishon announces that the Vav is split. Tell him to go back to the Tikkun. But if you announce it in Shlishi, then it's a problem. So what was the Chassidus Shabbat? It's literally your standard Shabbat. What was the Chassidus Shabbat? So my the second after the Shabbos. So that if the Shabbos, that next morning. So I want to see how Shabbos had gone back home, back in Paramus. So that summer rabbi Roblowski, Yaakov Roblowski, was my summer rabbi in Paramus. So I called him Sunday morning. I said, how did you go? Shabbos, sure, everything said. He went, okay. So the only thing was is that we had a little bit of a problem with the Sefer Torah. A little bit of a glitch in the Sefer Torah. Really? I said, so what happened? It was a problem. I said, you know, there was a vav. You don't mean the first one. No, he knew that. He's a seasoned Bakari. He said, no, there was a vav that had a little bit of a scratch of ink in it. So I started to get like the goosebumps. So what'd you say? So he said, so I told them that since the Rambam says you can lay with the post of the Torah and some Rishonim, the exact same to the Tennessee. So then I asked him the question that if the answer would have been true, then I probably would have become kind of full fledged husband. I said, which vav was it? It would have been the same. No, it wasn't. But what was the same? That would have been a little bit even too much for me. So I told my Malvatan that even though I'm 3,000 miles away and I'm off for the summer, I'm still answering your shaylas. But it wasn't much. He answered the shayla first because the time zone, he was 3 hours ahead. So he set the stage for the Pesach and I followed suit 3 hours later. Anyway, so the bottom line is that we are going to try really, really hard. So this is for sure. We try really, really hard to make sure the lands are intact. What would the din be as follows? So he opens up the pair of tefillin, and he notices up the tefillin mezuzahs, and he opens up and he sees that one of the letters is cracked a little bit. One of the letters is split to the point where it's not one unit. So we're not going to leave it the way it is. We're not going to rely on that minority view. We're going to fix it. But can we fix it even? So we know when it comes to tefillin mezuzahs, we have a halacha that's staring us in the face called shaloi kisidron, that the letters have to be written in order. If a letter was written, it's halachically not there. Halachically, it's puzzled. So then, B'chori, now I'll fix it. B'chori, to add a little bit of ink, would be like, that's like tantamount to writing the book, writing the letter. And that should be a problem in the Torah of Shlok Yisidrin. So the Maharami Rutenberg is quoted by his Talmidim as saying that it's okay. You're allowed to add on a little bit of ink to that letter. Why? It says in my word book as follows. If the letter is mamish not legible, literally can't see the letter, there's so much ink missing that a kid looks at it and says, it's a yud. It's not above. So when you add on ink, you're writing above. It's possible in that Torah. But if the letter is basically there, it's just missing a little bit of ink. It's not one unit. And therefore, it's the lack of ksiva tama. Remember, the whole requirement for the din of having one unit is learned out from ksiva. There's no other source for that din. It's only chisar of ksiva tama. Says my Rebbe Chiddush Gomer, says that shloka sidrin was said on the ksiva gufa. It wasn't said on the touching up of ksiva tama. If the letter was not even there, wasn't nichtava because it's a different letter, like Amr, it looks totally different. So that's like it was never there in the first place. So you can't add in that letter after the fact. But if all you're doing is touching up, you see the tumah part of it. No, says my Marburg, that's okay. That's acceptable. That's how. Yeah, Torah Mezuzah, that's what we're talking about. There is no Torah Mezuzah. Torah Mezuzah, you can actually touch that up. So even if, Sofa opens up each film and he says, hey, Gavalot, I found there's a problem. There's a problem in your host. It doesn't always mean that it's going to have to go into Shemus. It may depend on, this kind of a Shaila. You have other kinds of Shailas like this. So much in Torah Mezuzah, where the Poskim Omega was modeled by Marburg. That the letter is basically there, but it's not a Tzivut Tama, and therefore can't be fixed. So the Chorin is a very difficult Baram Rutenberg, this concept, because what if you have a base, that's a Chof, but if a Reish, it's a Dalet, above the Tiyut, a Zayin, that's a Nun Sofi. Those are also learned out from Tzivut Tama. There, the Baram Rutenberg would never permit you to fix. If I have above the Lusak, you can't hear in gift words, that's Mamash writing the letter. So I understand, all the Dinim of Tzivut Tama are not working the same way. That some of the halachas of Ksivut Tama are subject to the rules of Shloka Sidrin. Some of the halachas of Ksivut Tama are not subject to the din of Shloka Sidrin. So the answer is, it's not Briska Torah. You're right. There are two dinim in Ksivut Tama. Not all Ksivut Tamas are created equal. They're almost like three different levels of halacha. There's Ksiva, there's the basic tesura of writing. If I have a parsha filled that doesn't have the word Shema in it, so I don't need Ksivut Tama to tell me that's not there. The word Shema is missing. So that's a lack of a ksiva proper. Then you have additional halachas that are superimposed called ksiva tava. What are some of the halachas of ksiva tava? So the basic level, the elementary level of ksiva tava is every letter not only has to be there, it has to be there clearly. You can't have it that the kid is looking at it and he can't tell when it's a dollar or a range. It can't be that I'm looking at a kid that was above or you have a sign or so free. It has to be clearly recognizable as a letter. That's the basic elementary level of ksiva tava. And that's chayt lo yavar. That's the din of the ksiva proper. And even though it's derived from ksiva tama, but that deficiency of ksiva tama is so blatant, such a flagrant violation of ksiva tama, that that's going to pose a challenge for shloka sidrin. And for our purposes, the gittin, that's going to carry over to gittin. You cannot have, if the guy's name is Baruch, you can't call him Karuch. If her name is Sari, you can call Sarach. It's got to be clearly recognizable as the letter. That level of ksiva tama is, although it's derived from Ksiva Tama, that's also part, so to speak, of the dinim of Ksiva proper that carry over the Gittin and create a problem of Shlokas. But when you have a next level of Ksiva Tama, a different kind of Ksiva Tama, Ksiva Tama that the letter's there. Come on, who are you kidding? The letter's there. Hello, what? It's not exactly one piece. It's a little. Take off your glasses and look long enough, you'll realize that the ink is faded. The letter's there. It looks like a vav. Any kid's getting like a vav. But with mice, you know that there's an ink missing. It has to be fixed. According to Moshe Shalom, it has to be fixed. The pasuk has to be fixed. But you can fix it even after the fact. That's not a problem with Shlok Yisidrin. Or similarly, that kind of halacha. So in theory, according to what we're saying, maybe it wouldn't carry over to Hilchus Gittin. Another example of something that's a Ksiva Tama, but second tier Ksiva Tama, that's Book of Kiyum. But the Torah says that the letters have to be separate, can't be touching. What kind of halacha is that? I can see it says Shema. I can see it's a Shin. I can see it's a Mem. I can see it's an Ayin. Hello, what? The sofa was a little bit sloppy. It has a little bit of ink connecting the two. So I can't leave it the way it is. I got to get rid of it. The way it is now, it's a Ksiva Tama Shem. We spoke about it earlier. Can I just take a razor blade and erase it? It's also okay. That's not how deep it is, but also not how dark it is. So I can fix it. It's not a problem with Shindra. It's not a problem. It has to be fixed. There's no question. It has to be fixed. And the Mishnah says it's possible that ice is the way it is. But that kind of a problem is a Ksiva Tama type of a problem. Because that kind of a problem is a lower level, tier two of Ksiva Tama, that does not spill over to Gittin. So this concept of just because something is part of the U.S. because of Ksiva Tama, does that automatically translate that it's okay? We can look the other way, forget. Look at the Rishon, look at the Gemara. Not at all simple, that's the case. So we're almost like splitting hairs here. We're saying, it's a din of Ksiva Tama, this is Ksiva Tama number one, Ksiva Tama number two. Do we have any precedent for this? We just... Besides Friday morning, we just made this up, this idea. There are two kinds of Ksiva Tama. So I'll bring you a raya from a different area of halacha that I think that this idea is correct. That even though Chazal are deriving from the word Tama, not all Tamas are created equal. But we're going to go out of the realm of Sefer Torah and Torah Mezuzah and Gittin for a moment to another bit of Tama. This is a familiar kind of a drasha. When the Torah says you need a Tama, you need a whole, you need a complete, a perfect kind of a thing. The Gemara says, about the mitzvah of Dalaminim, L'kachtem L'chem Yom HaRishon, the Torah says, L'kachtem, The Tosha Rabbe explains it has to be lekichat tama. What does it? What do the words mean? It has to be lekichat. What's called lekichat tama, and what falls short of being a lekichat tama? The Gemara says that the dalad minim ma'akim ma'akim zezeh. We know that sometimes when you have a mitzvah that has different components, different parts to it, sometimes each part is critical, and sometimes they're not as critical. So the Moshe Matzitzis, the Machlekes that they know him, is the tcheles and the love of the two parts of the Matzitzis, and the Ma'achim Zezeh. One Tana says yes. According to that Tana, you can't wear Tzitzis unless you have both components. And we pass, you know, we pass the tcheles and the Ma'achim Zezeh. When you have the Dalaminim, so the Gemara says, everybody agrees that Dalaminim Ma'achim Zezeh. Let's say a guy, he can't get Hadassah this year. He's got his Lulav, his Esrog, and Aravah. He can't find Hadassah this year. He's wasting his time by taking the other three. He's not getting anything. Should he take the other three to remember Lulav? Or maybe it's a bad idea because I don't think you don't need it. That's another question. That's a technical question. But I mean, Torah, it's an absolute waste of time. There's no person of Rachel Matal. He's not yet seeing anything. So in the Gemara itself, the only source, that the only did that's derived from the Kichatom is this halacha that the Ma'achid says. So Tosfos, in the beginning of the third break of Sukkah, adds on to this Gemara. Tosfos writes, there's another din that he thinks also comes from the words of Kikot Abba, and that's the halacha of Esrog HaChoser. The Mishnah says, if you have an Esrog, and somebody took a bite out of the Esrog, it's missing a piece, and the Esrog is possible. It's possible in the Raisa, no shalom about it. Esrog HaChoser. So the Mishnah, we're not sure where that comes from. The Gemara never explains, but not even, never says, how do you know that that's true? So some Mishnah says, it's not good because that a Hodah creates Hodah, it's beautiful. I took a bite out of it. That doesn't look very pretty. So Tosfos says, no, that's not so bad. It could be very, very small. It's not such a, that doesn't look so terrible. Tosfos says, you know why it's no good? Because it's not called a lekicha tama. Because it's lacking in completeness and wholeness and perfection. The same way that we say that the dalad minim have to all be there, so too, each and every min has to be there in its entirety. And if a min is there, not in its entirety, this is ois lekicha tama. So again, Tosfos is guessing that. The Gemara never connects those two drushes. Tosfos guessing. So basically, what Tosfos just told us is that there are two aspects of lekicha tama. There's one din that governs all four minim, and then there's another din that governs each and every min separately. So Tosfos, in the beginning of the third track of Masechet Sukkah, makes an observation about the mitzvah of dalad minim. That it's a little bit of a controversial observation. Not everyone agrees to this, but Tosfos presents the sugya as follows: what is the din on the third day of Chol Hamoed? Person wants to shake a dalad minim. Why is he shaking? It's a little bit extra than the third day of one. The Torah says, "Bayom harishon." So the answer is right. The Torah doesn't have to. It's a din midrabbanan that since bezman shemesh mikdash hayakayim, so there was a mitzvah in the Torah to take a lulav every day. It was smachta v'neshem kachshuvus yomim, and the base mikdash was destroyed. Rabbi Yechman Zaka made a takana shein lulav midrabbanan called shivas echel mikdash. So the fact that we take a lulav the entire week of Chol Hamoed, that's only midrabbanan as a mitzvah echel mikdash. Let's raise the question. What are the standards of these dalad minim for the rest of the week? On the first day, they're very, very strict. The Mishnah tells us exactly what's good, what's no good. What about third day Chol Hamoed? Guy's got an esrog with a hole in it. An esrog chaser. The Gemara says explicitly it's okay, but it's not a problem. An esrog chaser is kosher after the first day. The Gemara tells the story that Rabbi Chanina, who actually took a bite out of it, he was hungry one morning. Chol Hamoed, he took a little bite out of his esrog, chewed away a little bit, then afterwards he used the esrog for the mitzvah. So the Gemara tells the story, and the Gemara has no problem. The Gemara has no qualms about the fact that it took a bite out of the esrog. The only question the Gemara raises is, how are you allowed to eat before doing a mitzvah? That's the only problem. If I would take a guy taking a bite out of the esrog, I tell the guy, he's crazy. We'll take a bite of it if the first day. Not in the first day. Not in the first 2 days. But the third day, you can take a bite out of the esrog. So Taisa says, how can that be? Would anybody say that on the third day, you don't need hadassim? Would anybody say that you don't need a rabbis? You don't need a lulu? After the first day? So that's ridiculous. That's nice. Everyone knows you can take it. It's a shadow. Make a day so you can take, not take all 4 minutes after the first day. So how can it be sustenance? When it comes to the din of ma'akvin zezeh, so somehow that spills over the whole week. When it comes to the din of chaser, that doesn't spill over. How can that be? And they're both derived from what? They're both derived from the same phrase. They're both derived from kachtem, kichatoma. So sestais, you see that Chazal instituted this problem. Yeah, this is what the Rabbanan. When Chazal instituted the mitzvah of dalad minim the whole week, they instituted in the following manner. Whatever is a part and parcel of the etzema mitzvah, whatever is a mamish, he said, this does the mitzvah of dalad minim. You can't say, well, on the third day Chol Hamoed, I'll take a tulip and a rose and an apple. That's not taking dalad minim. So the takanas of Chabad was, you have to take dalad minim. And whichever is an integral part of the lekicha has to be met. I can't say that on third day Chol Hamoed, I won't pick up the loaf. I'll look at it.
the dimid rabban was lekachta machem for the entire week. So whatever is considered to be part of the etzem mitzvah, that spills over for the whole week. Some of the details, technical detail here and there, it's missing. It's got a couple of bite marks in it. That doesn't matter. So what Tosfos is basically telling us is that not all dinim lekicha tama are created equal. That there's lekicha tama that speaks to the etzem mitzvah that does spill over. The din that's a unique halacha, second level, second tier lekicha tama doesn't spill over. So that idea is very, very similar to what we're suggesting. I don't know if it's ksiva. Yeah, this is lekicha, this is ksiva. So they started out differently, but they both did with tama. So you see, the Torah sets up a model where you need a chetzah shel mitzvah and you need a basic tzur of the chetzah shel mitzvah, and then you need something. And there's a second layer that's added on. Sometimes the second layer spills over to other potential applications, and sometimes not. Not all tamas are created equal. Not all tamas are created equal in hilchas sefer tzvah mitzvahs. Not all tamas are created equal in hilchas talmidim. So again, it's not, I wouldn't call it a proof positive to what you say, but similar. The similar kind of an idea that's appearing in other mitzvahs as well. But getting back to the basic shayla, this is all the side point. It's more side point, but this, the basic shayla that we have is tachlis, bottom line, like getting kosher or puzzle. Bottom line, there's two letters that are touching, kosher or puzzle. So Tosfos is trying to bring raya from Gemara back and forth. Is a good raya, not a good raya. And then Tosfos throws the hands up and says, forget it. You don't even need a raya. It's good anyway, because it's only a problem. See the tumma, this kind of see the tumma doesn't, it's below branch. Can we come up with a raya? Is there any raya whatsoever from our sugya that can support Tosfos? So here, other Rishon, not in Tosfos themselves, other Rishon, the Rivash, quotes from the Ramah, from Rameha Levi, another possible raya. It's a throwback to how the whole sugya started in the first place. If you remember, the sugya began with the guy's a little stingy on the paper. He gives the get, his wife, he says, by the way, gets yours, except for all the parchment in between the letters. Now, yeah, he's not going to take for himself the parchment where the letters are on, because otherwise it gets no good. So he says, listen, we'll make a deal. You get to keep the parchment under the letters, I get to keep all the parchment around. So basically, the halacha is superimposing that there's a scissor that's going to be cut. Again, we're not going to do the actual surgery until later. But in theory, at the time, the scissor said, yeah. So he owns part of the paper, and she owns part of the paper. So come to Rivash, come to Ramah, and say, wait a second. The letters that he owns are basically as if they're cut off already, because that's what's going to be required to do in order to get to be kosher. So it turns out that the letters, catch this one, are not surrounded by cloth. Because that's what they're surrounded by air. Because since Alpi Halacha, they have to be cut. So it's like I gave her a letter that's surrounded by nothing. It has background of cloth, but it's not surrounded by cloth. Because his tonight, he didn't say to her, okay, I'll let you keep an inch around every letter. No, he wants every last millimeter of paper. I want every single piece of paper back. I'm giving you the letters themselves. I think Mar says, maybe that's okay. So comes the rebush from the Ramon. So I said, isn't that a red flag of a lack of mukhuk real? That's a very, very long mishul, lack of mukhuk real. You have to think about 100 times over. But isn't that a chisar of mukhuk real? So does that Gemara prove positive that there is no halacha mukhuk real by again? So we'll have to pick that up this Ryan next week and try to fine tune a little bit some of the intricacies and details of mukhuk real. Appreciate whether this is a good time.
Good Shabbos.